Hello, everybody, and welcome to Throwlers. I'm joined, as always, with Chris Reynolds. How you doing, Chris?
2 weeks in a row, back into the swing of things. Couldn't miss episode 69. Who am I kidding?
Yeah, that's it. What are you up to this week?
Yeah, just back into mundane work. No white water, no skiing. So just work. Trying to dodge Theo and his illnesses. He started daycare recently, so he's just permanently sick now. And touch wood, I'm trying to stay on the good side of that. What about yourself?
Yeah, pretty chill as well. We're a bit slow at work, so I've been helping our maintenance department, and they don't do shit, apparently. So, yeah, they just do no work at all. Every time we go out to do one of their jobs, we do it, and then they're like, oh, wow, is that done already? I'm like, yeah, it's very easy. So far, so good, but I shouldn't say that out loud. They'll probably send me to, like, put my hand directly into someone's toilet tomorrow or some crap like that. But so far, all easy jobs, pretty chill.
Nice. So
not too bad. I'm missing my disc golf, though. I didn't play on the weekend. Feels like I haven't played in forever. So probably going to have to sneak out for a cheeky social day round, I think.
Yeah, I'm eyeing that off for this weekend as well, for sure.
I had a look at Ballarat's even got one going on, but I don't know about Sunday. If it was Saturday, I reckon I might have gone, but yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, definitely.
A bit of sad news to start us off, I think, unfortunately. We both saw a post from Dylan Feldman announcing that he has to stop playing competitive disc golf, like forever, it seemed, right?
Yeah, that's how it reads.
Yeah, which is pretty sad news, obviously.
Very, yeah, terribly sad news.
I've got the post here. I'll sort of summarize a bit. He goes, following an MRI and a couple weeks ago, I've received a new diagnosis for my back injury that has answered a lot of questions about why I've struggled to improve over the last year and a half, which I'm grateful for. Unfortunately, it also means that I now know I will no longer be able to play competitive disc golf anymore, which is a tough pill to swallow. So he goes on to thank a bunch of people and say he doesn't plan on disappearing from the community. And he said he can still play casual rounds. So forehand only seems to be the go. So I guess the backhand is what's really giving him the grief. But man, we've both spoken about it. Yeah, when Dylan's up and about, he's the best in Australia. Like, his ceiling is the highest in Australia. So it's really sad to see. Really sad to see that, but just unfortunate that his back is put him in that position. So he's got to put his health first.
Yeah. Tough pill to swallow, as he said. Couldn't concur more. Obviously, we've mentioned it several times on the podcast. Really high ceiling. Obviously, really young dude as well. Obviously, had a great showing at a couple of events, New Zealand internationally this year. Yeah, I think it's just a taste of what he had to offer. It's a career cut short. But, oh, God, people will talk about him for years to come, which will be pretty fun. You know, the man, the myth, the legend himself before long, I reckon, because this new disc golfer's on the scene and they'll be like, geez, have you ever seen, you know, such and such throw a sidearm? I'm like, you should have saw when Dylan was throwing him 240 meters.
Yeah, 100%. His legend to be a lot bigger than the man ever was, I think. So it doesn't matter how good someone is. I'm like, oh, Dylan would have smoked that guy.
Yeah.
Oh, disappointing. All right, so I told you I was keen to listen to the tee off so that I could hear Patty just roast Timmy B for a big choke job.
Yes.
And I was a bit disappointed. I listened to it, and Paddy wasn't on it. I wasn't hosting because he's looking after his kid, and I think his very pregnant wife, maybe. So they did end up calling him, though, and he was way too gracious. I didn't like that at all.
That's just not cool.
Nah, right? But one bit of information I did hear them say is that they had wrapped up the commentary for, what do we want to call it? Tassie Open.
Oh, cool.
Way back in whenever that was, March.
Yeah.
So cool to see that come out, but I don't know. I feel like we still need to give Parked a bit of a rev up. I reckon they've got like four in the gun, right?
Yeah, I it's funny you bring this up. I ran with something on socials tonight. We're going to get to this, but Blake's over in the States at the moment playing AM Worlds, and there's going to be next day coverage. In Australia, I'd be just more than satisfied with next month coverage at the moment, let alone next day, or next couple of months, next quarter. Like
next quarter coverage.
Come on, next quarter coverage would do the job. But no, I think a rev up's in order. They've got a few in their gun for sure. And like some cool, like there's some pieces in there, like some cool little one dayers, and they've got stuff.
Yeah, I reckon they got two or three of just the Melbourne, not Melbourne events, but the Victoria events. So
yeah,
keen to see that pop out, and hopefully that'll be quick because they just get Jason Maddie to commentate those ones, and they can put them out anytime they want. So hopefully we'll be seeing that soon. But yeah, keep your eye out on Park's channel anyway, because we should be seeing the Tassie Open very soon, and I'm real keen to see how that jungle is played.
Yeah. Yeah. I've only seen photos of Jacob drunk in the jungle.
Yeah, exactly. all right, we've got a Vic Tour update. We promised it last week, and you've got the new leaderboard, the updated leaderboard, I should say, all sorted out. So, I reckon we have a little bit of a go at it, yeah?
Yeah, definitely.
Beautiful. I'm just getting it up now. Do you have it in front of you?
I do. I was scrambling as you're talking.
Sorry.
Shall we start down at women's?
Yep, sounds great.
So we now have a tie at the top. Huss did not compete at Melbourne Celebrates. As we know, Georgia Carroll did and has, climbed up from second into a tie for first.
Big.
So, tie at the top. With Anita rounding out the podium in the women at the moment.
Yeah, very nice. And Janet there. Janet just, she just hangs around.
She does. Honourable mention goes to Kim Michelle, who had a solid event and climbed up 11 spots.
Boom.
Boom.
Love to see that. All right, Huss and George, we've got a bit of a battle going on. I like it.
Yeah.
I'm staring at Cat 5 right now, and we've got Roland Weber, who is out in front of Tobias Weber, and Mark Carter in third. So Roland must have got some points too, because he's gone up a couple places. So a new leader here. Pretty tight up the top, which is good to see.
Yeah, definitely. All three of them sitting above 200. So, a lot to play for in Category 5.
And we gave Kim some props for the 11 spot jump up in the women's. Well, she's gone up 14 places in Cat 5, up into the top 15. So looking good there. And Nick Tay up 17 spots, right up into ninth place. So he took out equal first at Melbourne Celebrates. That'll do it.
That'll do it. Just his second event for the tour. And skyrockets into top 10. You got some people it stands out, his only tour events. You got like a few people in there on four or five events.
It could be a good dark horse if you can get to a few more events as the year unfolds.
Yeah.
What about Cat 4? What are we looking at there?
Category 4, no changes at the top. The podium stands, and there's a bit of separation between first and second, to be honest. Chris Scott out in a commanding lead with his six events. That's what's getting it done for him at 3-2-5. Then you've got Dan Frawley and Ash Widener rounding out the podium. You've got David Gannon gaining on that podium. And Alex Evans did a bit of climbing as well, which is great to see by Alex. But, the podium holds.
And by a fair margin here too. He's doing work in this division. He's 100 points clear.
Yeah.
Which is pretty wild. But yeah, another second place for him in Cat 4 at Celebrates. So it's hard to catch when he's always right at the top.
Yeah. What was I going to say? He's the Tim Bowen of the Vic Tour with those early six events.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I love that. Category three, no change at the top either. Don Carter still holding out, but Tim Stevenson has jumped into second over Lee Thompson, who, Lee did not play in Melbourne Celebrates, and Timmy played pretty good. I think, end up fourth or something in Cat 3, so nice jump up there. And Don play Celebrates too, and he finished third, I think. So the boys at the top taking some good points and extending that lead. Huss still there in fourth, but not much change below that, really. Just the top couple really just stretching out their legs, if you will.
Yeah, exactly.
Picanti somehow dropped four spaces. I thought he played all right at Celebrates, did he? Maybe not.
Not as well as he was like hoping for, that's for sure.
Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah, a lot of names ahead of him. All right. Bugger, that's disappointing. But Sebastian Gutierrez, I gave him a big pump up for his fantastic work at Celebrates, and he has jumped up 30 positions, which I didn't even know that was possible.
She's a big field. There's now been 50 competitors in Cat 3.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
I really like to see that. But a lot of people looks like they've only got points in one event. So, that'll do it, I guess. He must have scored before, and then a big jump in that one gets him up into 15th place. One to watch. But, Don Carter, Tim Stevenson, putting in work.
All right, shall we get to one of the big dog categories?
Yep, category two, let's go. What are we looking at?
Look at this. some very familiar names taking out the entirety of the top 10, let's be honest. A lot of these names have been mentioned multiple times across our podcasts. Obviously, we've got the lesser Brunsting in Allen, and we have Penn Lu tied at the top on 265.
Let's go. All right. Finally knocked Nate Parrish off the top, that prick. he didn't come to an event. I think he went to the first five. I'm at all six. So I got points at all six. It's not great because I don't think Penn's been to all six. So Parrish certainly hasn't. I'm barely above him. So not ideal, but I'll take it. I'm number one.
Yeah, in the top 10, you are indeed the only one with all six events. But everyone else in the top four have played five. Keep your eye on Mikey Hare and Ryan Michelle, though. They've only been to three. And Ben O'Byrne has only been to the couple.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Benny O'Byrne's too high rated now, so I don't care about him.
There you go.
hopefully can hold that out. Got a lot of events still to come, and I'm signed up to all of them, so... I might hit every event on the Vic Tour this year, so might have to try to keep a track of who's done that.
I can never pronounce his name properly, but the guy in 10?
Kalen.
Kalen.
Kalen Haramis.
Up 22 spots.
Big.
Big.
Big. Yeah, you beat me, that's what happens, you know?
Yeah.
Jumps ahead of Josh Smith, Melton Meatball, gets knocked out of the top 10.
Yep. Oh, I did love Street League's coming up later, but I did love in the banter, the pit bull versus the pit boss.
I missed that. That's so good.
Yeah. for those playing along at home, Penn indeed is a pit boss. He works at Melbourne Casino as a pit boss. And if you've met Josh recently, he is indeed a pit bull. so it was the perfect battle.
That's so good. Do you remember who said that?
Oh, nah. I'll have to go dig it. I can't remember who said it.
Well, that was sick. I love that. All right. Now the big dogs, the category one guys, 935 or something and above. We see the epic duel that has really unfolded this whole season so far has been Paddy Robinson and Ryan Hart. They keep flip-flopping. And Ryan Hart copped a not light for being really shit at disc golf at Melbourne Celebrates, and Paddy won. So no surprise that Paddy finds himself back on top, number one dog.
followed by obviously both Ryans, and with Ryan Deere climbing up into third spot. I'm sure if he has seen that, he would have told everyone that he knows. but if he hasn't seen that, hopefully he listens.
Mm. Yeah, Ruben Berg in there drops a place. Aiden and Timmy B move up a few spots, as well as Leo Dykes. Dave Perry and Dill Feldman down a bunch of spots, but to be expected because, they don't play.
Yeah, you forget. It's crazy how often you forget David Perry exists. And then you read his name, you're like, oh, that's right. There's a 1,000-rated disc golfer that just kicks around Melbourne somewhere.
Yeah, it just never plays.
Yeah.
But when he does, he feels like he's better than us.
Yeah, easily.
A lot of the other names aren't really doing too much. So I think the battle all year is going to be this Paddy and Ryan battle. But, yeah, if Ryan, Dr. Aiden, Timmy B can make it a bit spicy, even Ruben, cool to watch. Will be cool to watch. But it's going to be hard for some of the other boys to catch up. But, like I said, a lot of events still to be played. We've got the next Vic Tour event is Bendigo, I believe. And then what else is after that? I know there is going to be a late entry. I won't say too much, but keep your eyes on your email because something's going to be popping up that a couple very familiar names are putting out there. But, yeah, I think... there's Bendigo. I think there's something else. There's Rudolph Riot. I think there's like four more, maybe three more.
Yeah, that's cool. And I'm just doing some quick maths over here as the maths teacher. And four categories with more than 50 unique players.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so we're pretty close to 250 players have played on the Vic Tour this year.
That's really cool. Yep. I really like to see that.
Oh, hang on, let me get that right. I'm so far wrong. That's 200 players that have earned points this year.
True.
Yeah, so there'd be obviously a bunch of, obviously in some of the bigger fields, there's some players that don't get points. Who knows how many unique players we're up to for the Vic Tour.
I just got on the website for Disc Golf Victoria. We've got the Central Vic Classic, the Inverley Open. I forgot about that one. And the Rudolph Riot, and then, yeah, like I said, I think you'll find that there might be another sneaky gold event popping up at some stage. So keep an eye out for that. But if four more events only on the tour, we're six in, your best six count. How's your spreadsheet ability you're going to be able to handle that once you're going to start filtering out my bad rounds?
Oh, I'll figure it out. I bossed an absolute wicked formula at work today, actually, that I was pretty proud of. I won't go into details because, it just froth too many people listening, I think. But, it involved getting like two values to appear in one cell, and I got it going. I was pretty happy with myself.
That's good. I've been the other way this week with my spreadsheets. I was updating our tipping comp spreadsheet, pretty basic one, just put scores in, and I actually don't even know how I set it up. Like, there is some sort of like automatic adjusting table I've got where if I like adjust the totals, it just moves everyone around. Yep. Like, it moves the whole column around. I have no idea how I did it. Couldn't do it again, but somehow I did it. But the math wasn't mathing. Like, half of them were adding up all of my columns and half of them were adding up like half of them. So it took me a few cracks and people kept saying, my shit's still wrong. But anyway, got it sorted and I can never delete it because I'll never get it back again. So yeah, I think we're a bit different ends of the spectrum on our spreadsheet abilities. All right. So we've done Blake at Worlds, but we've got now Blake at Worlds.
We do.
What's
have
going
Blake
on?
At Worlds, yes.
How are we doing this? We've already done it. How do we have it again?
I'm actually so lost, to be honest. Like, I feel like there already has been AM Worlds 100 times. How is there another AM Worlds?
Well, we had Blake at AM Worlds and we had Vito at World Masters. So we had Blake at Junior AM Worlds.
Yes.
And we had Vito at AM Master Worlds. And now we just have regular old AM Worlds.
There you go. With
so
only
this is the one that Hardy went to last year, and he was pretty disappointed with me for not going to what is my hometown in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I could be staying at my grandparents' house and playing at Worlds, but instead we're here.
Instead we're here.
But yeah, so Blakey stuck around and he's playing that. So we are one round in.
Correct.
And where's he sitting?
Look, he's not sitting where he would want to be sitting. All right, he's sitting at neg 3, triple bogey on 17 hurts him.
Oh, no he's got way.
He's got the 6 birdies in there. Put him currently in a T112.
Yeah, wow. I'm just having a look. If he had a par on that hole, that gets him to a 1,000 rated round and gets him up into 30th place. Oof.
Yep.
That is tough to swallow.
It is.
So that is 112 out of Pool A.
Yeah.
The 270 players in Pool A. There are another 288 players in Pool B. But I've had a bit of a look at that, and his round rating for that was 970 something, right? Which would put him around 30th place in Pool B.
Yeah.
So if he can play closer to his rating, then he'd be a lot further up. But it looks like he's roughly 150th out of what is, 550?
Huge.
550? Like, there's no way I remember it being this big last year when Hardy went.
No
right?
way. Nah. Oh, who's like that? Probably got scared off by Northwood Blacks last year.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Wild. 550, over 550 people playing. How do they even keep track of all that shit? How do they split that into just two divisions? They're getting through 280 people in a day at a course?
Yep. You start at 8 a.m. and you tee off all the way through to 3 p.m.
That's insane.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll definitely have to keep an eye on that. The kid that won AM Worlds, Ryan Mon, who I'm just going to say is the younger brother of Jake Mon.
Has to be.
Has to be. He is currently in, sixth place. So that kid, kid rips.
Yep.
So very interesting to see how it goes there, but yeah, clearly a very well-deserving winner of the Junior Worlds.
Yeah, and it's pretty cool to see the guy that's like come out of the blocks early, Jeff Yunda. He's just a 970 rated golfer, and he's pulled out a 1050 round nearly.
That's crazy. Yeah. That is crazy. Imagine that. Just like your biggest event ever, and you probably have your best event ever.
Yeah.
Or your best round
best
ever.
Best round, yeah.
Where's he from? He's not even a local. I see second place guy is from Saginaw. Just Michigan. I should have gone.
You should have gone.
my uncle lives in Saginaw. anyway, yep, definitely keep an eye on that. Everyone can. If you go to the PDJ Live page, it is it's the first thing up there. It's a major. So, not quite a major, but we did have some disc golf in Victoria, or in Melbourne on the weekend. We had a social day out at Melton.
Yes, we did.
I did not go. I thought I couldn't go. Well, I thought I wouldn't be up to going because I had work drinks the night before. But my work drinks were on Friday. And I was just super convinced that it was on Saturday. So I was like, I'm not coming, boys. And we had a full squad anyway. But turns out I couldn't really make it anyway. I couldn't make the Street League. Because I was getting fitted for my suit for my my mate's wedding. Yeah. So, not too bad. But, a lot of people did make it, including yourself. What was it like out there?
Yeah, pristine. Obviously, wasn't playing the 8 o'clock. Would have been pretty icy at the 8 a.m. round, like anywhere these days. But then the sun came out, and it was beautiful. Like, the amount of people that complimented Melton on the weather. And I, to be honest, it's just been beautiful out there for a couple of weeks. So I don't know where these people are rolling in from. But, yeah, blue skies, sun, T-shirt weather. It was dreamy. The 8 a.m. round, No crazy scores put down by anyone. Mark Hardy finished with 5 birdies in his last 6 holes to finish 8 down. And that was the score to beat for us 10:30 crew that obviously were going on to play Street League. And yeah, a few players were able to surpass those that bottleneck at 8 down in Penn, Daz, and Vil going 9, 10, 11 respectively.
Yeah, I was excited about that after Vil's poor performance at the last Street League to see that neg 11, the number one man up on the board there, clean sheet. I was like, yes, here we go. Street League's going to be looking good. So we'll get to that in a minute, but well done there, Vil. Glenn Maisie too. I've seen Glenn's name. I feel like I haven't seen him in forever. Have you?
Nah, I haven't actually seen him. Literally haven't seen him.
So, yeah, crazy. But nice score from him. And, yeah, cool to see him coming out. And Picanti Beans as well with a neg 8. So, very good round for him. That would have had to have been... is he Div 2 or is he Div 1? No, he's going to be Div 1, right?
He is 8.8.8.8.4 rated.
Oh, what does that mean?
I feel like 8.9 is the cutoff. It could be Div 2.
Yeah, well, then he's definitely won that.
Yeah.
So that's a hot round.
Bogey free. Vil can obviously say bogey free as well. And I noticed MDL, Mike Vanderlinen, also went bogey free.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
I'm seeing your name down pretty far, actually. Chris Reynolds, neg 4 with a double bogey on 15.
Yeah. That happened. That happened. I started on 17. I ended up starting on 16. So I was 3 down through 4, then parred, then went birdie. I was 5 down through 7, then parred, then went birdie, and I was 7 down through 9 or something like that. And I was like, here we go. And I didn't get another birdie after that.
Jesus.
And I just got a bogey and a double bogey.
Sick.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you that my full attention, I didn't really care about the other 44 players. The only two that I were interested in is Cam Ford, Brett Bobridge, and they both started, I think, bogey, or something to that effect. They both started pretty trash, and I was like, uh-oh. But then my boy Brett just went bang, 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 like a bunch of birdies, 3 out of 4 birdies. And had Cam comfortably. And then I check at hole 17, Cam's on even, Brett is neg 2. There's one hole to go. I was like, we're sweet. We're good. Owls won. Throwers guarantee. Guaranteed. And then I quick have a look later. And somehow Brett's on even. How is Brett on even? And I look, and it must be his last hole, 15, because it's his only double bogey. He's fucking double bogey 15. What's 15?
15 is tough. If you're going to double bogey a hole, it's 15.
Really? God damn it. Yeah, which one's 15?
It's the one furthest away. You got to go Mando right of a big tree, which is a really easy Mando to miss. And even if you don't miss the Mando, you throw into this bush, which is absolute jail.
I can't even think of it. That's
you're thrown from a footpath out back. It's furthest away from where you park the cars.
Furthest away from you park your cars. Isn't that the alternate to hole 8? Isn't that like 17?
Nah. 17's like the par 4 coming back towards DZ. Nah, there's a tee pad even further away than that. Miles past the playground.
Yeah, okay. I can't think of it. Anyway, that has pissed me right off. I was home. I was so home. I was so happy with my tip. I was like, yes, Brett. He finished his tie. I said I'd beat him. God damn it. I got to start doing the soccer bets where, win or draw.
Yeah, true.
I feel like I might have been bitten a couple of times with that. But, Brett is one of my least favorite people in the whole world right now. Brett Bobbage, you've really, really let me down. Cam did his thing. He got even. That's all I needed out of him.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm seeing a lot of green when I'm looking at these hole one scores.
Yes.
Which makes me a little nervous.
At a glance, you're like, yeah, Chris is home. When you start counting, it becomes less apparent how home I am.
There's a lot of red.
There is a lot of red. So if you count the bogeys, it goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. It's oofed. All right. Count the greens. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, and two more. Gets to 21.
Gets to 21. There it is. He's home. Yeah, if you click on the stats, it's weird. It comes up.
I see that.
110% birdies and 90% bogeys. So I don't really understand what that means. But
nah.
More birdies than bogeys is what I'm looking at.
Yeah, but the average, because of obviously the double bogeys and triple bogeys, the average worked out to be exactly 3. So it turned out to be a good throttle's guarantee by me.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah.
That definitely was. Who am I looking at? Who's pissed me off here? Like, what's tipped in him? Cam 4 getting a 2. I bet against him, so that's not good. You got your 2. I was really, really hoping that your guarantee was going to ensure that you got a 4.
Yeah.
That you're going to stuff that. But, Eamon Dawson, one of the low, like, the bottom half of the field is all red and the top half of the field's all green.
Yeah,
and the only two in the bottom half that got the greens were Eamon and Cam, so they're the two that let me down.
You've also got to be careful. Like some of these threes, well, at least David Wood, some of these threes were probably big putts from the hazard
as well.
So yeah, they've let you down.
If any one of you made a putt from the hazard, I also don't like you. That's it. All right, well done. So that was 6 points for you, and now that puts you on top.
Nice.
My leaderboard has you on 15.
Yep.
And myself on 11.
Correct.
Yeah, worrisome. Worrisome for me. We'll have to, I don't really know what I'm going to do guaranteed yet this week, so I'll have to see what you're going with. But we'll check out the handicap leaderboard before we leave Melton. We've got John Baker on top, Chu Tran and David Wood and Picanti right there in fourth. I can't cut it just there. Or even Dave Gannon in fifth. I'd feel pretty salty if I left his name off. So good rounds from those guys. 5 hot rounds there. But the bottom end, oof, very familiar name, Jacob Cruden, right down at the bottom. It seems every week now. It seems every week now. Have we had a ratings update yet? No, it's not. It's next week. I can't wait to see that. I know this doesn't affect it, but I mean, all these other rounds.
Yeah.
So he's at the bottom with Jesper Berg Alexson, who I'm not familiar with. Max Tats, Ryan Deer, and of course yourself. Not good rounds.
Not great. Not great.
All right, so we had the Street League, obviously. The precursor was the social day. We had the Street League. We had some fucking big matchups. I was real, real keen watching these scores come in. Who was your matchup?
Yeah, so spicy day. We had to obviously go up against Where's Wally's. My first Street League for the year, definitely, we are repping the best gear. So well done there, Team Chainsmokers. Our gear is pretty fire comparatively to some of the other teams. And
yeah.
to be honest, some of the other teams need to step it up. Not really seeing much merch kicking around. The Where's Wally's obviously had their gear going on. But, yeah, the other teams need to step it up. But, Where's Wally's a tough butt. It was always going to be a tough battle. Like, Leo versus Vil, obviously you've alluded to Vil having the fire round. So there's two big dogs going toe-to-toe. In the number 2 spot, got to be me versus Daz.
Oh, yeah, I was so G'd up for this.
And after Street League, I was less G'd up. After Social Day, I was less G'd up for that. And then in the third single, we had Tim Ware, the captain himself, going up against Tony Magan, the course designer himself. So was keen to see how that would go. And then, yeah, some big names in the doubles where you had Chu on the Wally side and Brett Bobridge also on the Wally side up against people like Joel Payton and Sam Stoyer. Yeah, could have gone either way, but it's a bit of a flip the coin when you read those matchups, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
And, yeah, we've called it on the pod, though, and we are the strongest team out there. So I'm sure, Skipper, in your absence, you were expecting us to win.
I was, especially after I saw Ville's score. I thought that might tip us over the edge. I was liking our doubles, and our singles were looking real coin flippy. But with Ville's strong performance, I thought that would be the extra coin that flipped our way. But he got fucking smoked. Leo 5-up on
that
Ville.
Score, I need to tell you, that scoreboard does not do the smoking justice.
Really? Oh, you were on their card?
Yeah. That was their card. And I thought at one stage he was going to win 10-up, 9-to-play.
What?
Just, I don't think Ville hit a single. Nah, I'm exaggerating a little. But he maybe hit two birdies.
Oh, boy.
Like, Leo was winning holes on pars,
and
Leo was birdieing everything because you just do have to birdie everything. And yeah, Ville thought he was 4-up, 4-to-play, but Ville had given up 2 holes earlier. Ville thought, I thought I did the math that I thought he was 7-up, 6-to-play. But like, yeah, I think he did the math wrong, and he was 6-up, 6-to-play, 5-up, 5-to-play. 4-up, 4-to-play, and then won that hole, so wins 5-up.
Yeah, disappointing. He is 0-2 now, and both like poundings. So our number one man not doing much. I was really counting on you and Dad's, and that was a tight battle the whole way through, from what I saw.
It was until it wasn't. Look, that was just such a sick battle. We both tapped in hole one. I had a dirty spit out on hole two. That's a lie. I win hole one. Dirty spit out on hole two. We're all square. And then we stay all square until hole 10 on birdies. We just birdied out.
Big.
Yeah, just birdie for birdie for birdie for birdie for birdie. There was one par in there. But on the front nine, he hit 8 birdies. I hit 7. And then hole 10, he got me with a big putt. And yeah, I have to add, he was hitting big putts. So then he was 1-up. And then again, we just got on a birdie train or a par train. And he just kept on like holding me out. Like he had the box all this time. And he just hold me out with big like C2 putts. Then eventually we got to the double Mando on 16. And he made the Mando, but left himself a little bit of a tester, and he had a putt not quite go his way, and was square with 2 to play. And I was like, Jesus, I think he was just going to hold me off, like just hold me at arm's length the whole way and just win 1-up. But I was good to square it up there. Then he went awry on 17, and I know you'll listen, but he did a controversial pickup. So 17, par 4. I pure it, he shanks it. His second is also rubbish, and he's nowhere near the green. I put my second to 5 meters, so I'm putting for birdie. He's still at 40, throwing 3 now, and he runs it because he sees I'm at 5 meters, so he gives it a soft run, puts it to like 11 meters. Okay, so he's got an 11 meter putt for par. Okay, and obviously still waiting to standing over my 5 meter putt for birdie. Daz calls pick up and gives me the hole.
Big. Yeah, that Daz is one of the few people that'll do that. A lot of us are all, I want to see you make it. Myself included. I'm a bitch. I just assume everyone sucks. So
yeah.
I want to see him make
it.
But
he doesn't even run his par putt though. He just
gives
me the hole.
I get where he's coming from. Because he goes, you know, you make it. He doesn't want to see you, He doesn't want to have you see it go in.
Yeah.
So he just says, nah, pick him up. And then hopefully he can get you back on the last one.
Yeah, crazy. I don't know. I just think I miss that putt. If he hits the par putt, I miss that putt.
No, you don't.
Oh, I hadn't hit a putt all day. Like, I don't, I know, I just like, it was only, it was a hole 17. I was like, and he'd hit so many 11 meter putts. I'm like, I was already, obviously I'm letting you inside my head, but in my head, I was like, shit, he's hit 5 11 meter putts already. He's going to hit this one. And now I'm going to miss this 5 meter putt. But I didn't even have to run it. And then we go to 18. I leave it at 15. He gets a dirty tree kick to about 11, but I've got a putt first. And I'm like, no time like the present to finally hit a putt. And I did.
No way. There you go. So bang, bang, final two holes. You go from one down to one up.
Yeah.
Excellent. We needed it. We needed it. So yeah, we're all square there. We had Tony in our three spot and I liked it. I thought that was a pretty spicy little bit there. Really depended on who they put him against. But, Tim Ware has been hot lately. Has been very hot lately. I think a neg 7 in the round earlier. Tony only went like neg 3. And, Tim Ware pretty comfortably 3 up over Tony. So, disappointing for the boys. And then just more disappointment. Like, this was, I thought, the lock of the day. Joel Payton and Tim Stevenson versus Chu Tran and Jesper Berg. Mostly because I don't know who Jesper Berg is, I guess. But two great guys on our side, and they get done 2 up.
Yep.
What happened there?
Apparently, just Chu couldn't miss a putt, and like he apparently like he even sunk a putt from 30 meters. But it was really cool to watch the two upside down triangles tee off against each other.
Yeah, true. Yeah, Joel and Tim just. Joel and Chu just doing, probably just doing push-ups at the start of every hole.
Yeah. Someone made a comment about a tight t-shirt and you should have saw the whiplash in both of them. Like they assumed that they were talking about Chu thought they're talking about me. Joel thought, yeah, of course they're talking about me. And it was just like, it was just so funny to watch them both turn around.
Oh, I love that. And then the perfect end of the day would have just been to Brett Bobridge to somehow turn into prime Paul McBeth and then fuck up my matchup here. But he didn't, which is good. So Sam Stoyer, Mike Jeffcott get the win over Alex Ritchie and Brett Bobridge. And we go down 3-2. So disappointing from the boys, but yeah. What are you going to do? It's a tough team.
The Mike Jeffcott rating there hurts us, I think. I would have loved to have seen Stoyer Jeffcott against Jesper and Chu.
Yeah, okay.
And then Joel and Tim against Alex and Brett. I wonder how differently that would have shook out.
Well, Chu Tran got the play of the round for the Wallies.
Yep.
And yeah, from the sounds of it, he was just firing on all cylinders. And Mike Jeffcott got the player of the day for us. So Mikey must have been playing well.
Mm-hmm.
Over on the other side, we had Ryan Deere and Aiden Howard. I mean, these were just great matchups today. I mean, yeah. On the weekend, it was so good. And Ryan gets it done 2 up over Aiden. So big.
I'm sure he never mentioned it again.
Yeah, I'm sure. They probably drove there together.
I think they did.
Yeah. Chris Scott, 1 up over Brennan Venson. Just Chris is decimating Street League, I think. I think he might be 3-for-3. I'm gonna have to put a little spreadsheet together this week, I reckon. Nothing as fancy as pens, but I'll just have a look at the win loss matchups.
Yeah.
And then you talked about it before, the pit boss versus the pit bull. How did that shake out?
Yeah. The pit boss gets it done 3 up. Not on my turf. So look, this was written in the stars 12 months ago when the course went in. That this young upstart, young Penn, was going to put the time in and get pretty dialed in at that track. And, 3 up, pretty comfortable victory over the Melton Meatball.
Yeah, Penn as the 3 slot is, That's some good mercenary recruiting, let's just say that.
Yeah.
That's a very tough top three, Aiden, Chris, and then Penn at three at Melton. Jesus. And then Glenn Massey with Peter Chu. That's a solid team. I like that. I think Glenn's a great doubles guy. So chuck him in there with Peter Chu, who found some form. You know how I said I thought about backing him for my dollars guarantee? Fuck, I should have. Glenn and Peter Chu very comfortably over Cam Ford and Johnny Hedekrus, five up. And then this doubles matchup is this double pairing of Jacob Cruden and Jace Wiedner are unreasonably good.
Unstoppable.
Unstoppable. They said when they were playing down the Tassie Open that they played together and somehow beat, who was it? It was like Jade and Austin.
It was Aussie D and Kyle.
Yeah, and there must have been Jade and Ash or something.
Yeah.
And Jacob and Jace come out on top. So, Pikanzi and Dave Gannon, just that's not a strong enough competition for him. But I think it got pretty spicy in the end, right?
I don't think there was an exciting finish, no. it's just two up. I think they were winning. They were winning going into the last hole by one, and then they just won the last hole, like pretty standardly, I think.
Nice. I'm hearing Jacob got an ace.
Jacob got an ace?
On hole three, that's just the crazy, weird forehand that's hard to get to the basket.
Yeah, just a little flick forehand, yep.
Yeah. he went into his YOLO mode, grabbed his Firebird, which is his putter, and he just putted it in.
Exactly. look, we've called it before. It's a pitch and putt. It's probably another par two. He carried on. Gosh, did he carry on. But
oh, I believe that.
It was kind of all just set up really perfectly for it. It would have been anything but an ace would have been a missed opportunity.
it was good enough to get him player of the day for their side. And Peter Chu takes out player of the day for the Bullies. But the Bullies take the match up 3-2. So another tight ones again. So no crazy separation on the leaderboard. The Bullies move out into front with two round wins and 11 up. Where's Wally is also two rounds wins and 9 up. Where they're in third, the Chainsmokers with the one round win and 4 down. And Brennan's Disc Golf team, one win and 15 down. So pretty crazy. But even the match wins, it's 8 wins, 7 losses for the top two and 7 wins, 8 losses for the bottom two. So it's close, tight season. So looking forward, I think we maybe got a couple weeks and then we're back at Ruffy Lake for week 4.
Yeah, a lot still to shake out in the Street League. Well done to the winners on the weekend. I hope to make it to more events for sure.
Mm. All right, we'll touch a little bit on Ledgestone that happened on the weekend.
Very much happy to do that. Yes.
Yeah. Did you catch any of that?
Nah, I haven't. Haven't watched any of it.
I watched a little bit of it live. The timing was pretty good, but I still didn't actively get up early and try to watch it. But the final round, I can't remember what I was doing, but I had a little bit of free time, let's just say that, to check it while I was at work. So that was pretty nice. And Gannon Burr is just unstoppable at the moment.
Yeah, mind the gap. When he's playing like this, he's a league above. And it's funny, he does it more often than most. It's definitely having a phenomenal season.
Yeah, he definitely is. He had a pretty good handy lead going into it. He takes the big double bogey on hole two, but the other three guys on his card all just take pars. And then I think he stuffs something up on hole four, but then they get pars and bogeys. It seemed like he early let him in.
Yep.
It really felt like it too. Like, even though his score wasn't that bad besides the double bogey, the first...
He was even through eight.
Third of the round, yeah. He just felt like he really let the guys in, and they were just like, no, thank you. Like, no one stepped through the door to chase him down, and then he gets five birdies in a row from 9 to 13, gets one par, and then gets four more birdies. And it's just like, well, you had your chance.
Yeah.
You can't... How much can I let you in? And, yeah, seven-stroke victory over Ezra Robinson. And Dickerson and Heimberg come up from chase card to get into third. So, yeah, disappointed from the other guys, but he's just too good. You can't... Yeah, eight down on the back nine. Just when you think he's having a bad round.
Yeah, smoking. Yeah, and even, like, you can see, like, the lead card was really not firing because you got... both Calvin and Dickerson podium from chase card, and Calvin had the four bogeys, and you know, four bogeys on chase card got him into third. That's
crazy.
That's not common practice.
Nah, crazy. So it was very odd. Isaac Robinson had a really cool eagle on hole 13. I think I switched on about then, which was cool. Yeah, I watched a little bit when I was driving to work, and then I had to work for a bit, and then I could switch back on. And I was just like, man, this hole's so dumb. It's that stupid one where you just throw like a basic hyzer for
peninsula.
Them, basic hyzer. Yeah. I'm like, man, this hole sucks. Like, I don't even know why they, like, why is this here? And then Isaac throws it in from that second landing zone. He's just trying to put it near the basket, and it goes in. I was like, oh, there you go. So that was pretty cool. But yeah, I still think that hole sucks. Paul McBeth, I think he... I watched a little bit of the first round coverage, and he was dog shit.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I should have just clicked on his name. I don't know why I tried to get around.
Three double bogeys.
Yeah, that was it. So everyone just assumed that, he's back in America. He sucks again. But he came charging home. A 12-down final round got him all the way up into 8th spot. So I definitely didn't see that coming after his first round.
Yeah, well, their writing was a little bit on the wall, though. Three double bogeys for a 10-30 rated round. He had his fair share of birdies. Just a few bad holes.
What else? Any other interesting names up there? Kevin Jones gets his first top five, like, of the year. It's probably his first top 20 of the year, to be honest.
No, I would not be surprised if that was true for a DGPT event. Who'd you tip?
I had guys been playing really consistent lately, getting some good form back in Europe. Not Paul McBeth, but James Proctor.
Oh, yeah, smart.
And if you scroll all the way down the bottom, he is one of the 2, 4, 6, 8 DNFs, 7 DNFs. So yeah, sick. Lucky me.
Well done.
That's it. How about yourself?
I got the robot chicken. So got in there for a podium, and I'm just having a quick look at KJ's season. He has had a top 20. He got 20th. At Music City Open back in April. But that is it for DGPT in the top 20. And it goes all the way down to 82nd. He's got himself a couple of 78s, a 68th.
Yikes.
Fifth for KJ, obviously, since changing sponsors. Definitely his best event of the year. And comfortably the most cash. On no other, he got $3,500 for that fifth. In no other event has he made more than $1,000. He has not made much money this year.
no good. Luckily, he was getting paid a shit ton on that Prodigy contract for a while. I'm having a quick look at the cash line, and this is another just... They got to sort their shit out, man.
I know, every time.
Three dudes played the final day with no cash.
Yep.
Levi Hancock, Ezra Adhold, Parker Welk. Yeah, I don't know. Just, we've said it before, that's crazy. They got to sort their shit out. And I'm seeing Anthony Brolla's name at 50th place. Yeah, remember when we thought that guy was the best player in the
I don't
world?
know. Scroll up a little bit further, and you will find in T41 Brody Smith.
Hey, look at that.
Yep. And he was.
Someone was saying he was rolling at like 100% C1X for a
Yeah,
while.
he was. And he's up and about too. He's up and about. Let's just see how he finished the event. Round three, he missed a couple. Jesus, he's missed two C1 putts for the weekend. They both happened round three. He went 100%, 100%. And then, yeah, 66%, and then 100% again.
100% on the final day is legit. 11 of
Yeah.
11, but round two, 3 of 3, round one, 1 of 1. That's some wild C1. Have you ever had one C1X putt in a tournament
Nope.
before? He shot 10-36 rated. How the fuck do you do that? Oh, a lot of bullseyes, I
Yeah,
guess.
they've all gone in
A
as
lot of
bullseyes.
bullseyes. There you go. Well, that's got to be his best finish of the season.
Oh, so he's barely played any Pro Tour events at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's load her up. Yeah, his next best Pro Tour was a 52nd, and his worst was all the way down at 107th. Yeah.
No good. We're seeing there in cheeky 73rd place is our man Elijah
Hey.
Bickle. He's still getting around.
He's there.
He's still not making cash, but he's still getting
Yeah.
around. I didn't see shit from the FPO. Yeah, didn't see too much of the NPO. I didn't see anything of the FPO. But Holland Hanley gets a very comfortable win. Another 7-stroke victory on the FPO side. So massive win over Lisa Foulkes and Hayley King tied in second place.
Yeah. Was T second after round one, Holland, and then yeah, then just stormed home. I tipped Lisa Fakis, and she has had an up and down year. We have seen her name a couple of times, but I was definitely keeping a very close eye on live scores for FPO because I'm trying to storm home, as I've mentioned a couple of times on the pod, and Lisa's Fakis has gone a long way towards me storming home. Between that tip and Weatherman, the FPO is coming in clutch for me at the moment.
Not so much me. I'm really storming the other direction pretty aggressively. You got the DNF there. Peaked Holly Finley, 20th place, +4 final round. Like, yep. I'm moving. I'm definitely moving. Yeah, another two girls on this side as well played the final day and did not cash. Sort your shit out.
And I wonder, Jess Weiss played 6 holes. I wonder if that was just a little bit of a, I'm not playing another 12 holes for free. I'm
Yeah.
driving on to the next event.
Yeah, well, there was, I did mention there was 7 DNFs in the MPO. What are your thoughts on this, the concept of, and I'm not saying they all are, but maybe the concept of just don't worry about it. I'm not playing well enough. I'll pull the pin.
I think that's weak dog behavior.
Don't hold back.
no, like in context. So like if Jess Weiss has done it, I'm for it, to be honest. Like everyone else, like all of her competitors now have an advantage, who get to have extra rest day or whatever, or gets the other event early. And she's got nothing to gain out of finishing that round. So like I feel like the final day after like cut, like maybe that's different, but just DNFing because you're not playing well, like that's not a DNF.
Yeah, fair enough. I think I'm controversially moving towards it doesn't bother me. It's not like it's here where you're taking up someone's spot. Like I know they're sort of taking up someone's spot potentially, but if you're like a touring pro and you're having a shoot like a James Proctor, who personally let me down. If he's just had a big European leg and he's not playing well, he's like, oh fuck it, I'm not gonna cash. I'll just cruise on to the next one. I don't know. It's starting to not bother me, I think.
I hear ya.
Where I was definitely on the just play bandwagon, but I was like, if you play all the time, then it doesn't matter. So, I don't know. We'll see how it shakes out. But they could have all just been genuine DNFs.
Yeah, and I think it's easy to justify because, like, in a long season, like, they're all probably carrying something, you know, and it's just like, geez, I'm just aggravating this. Like, what am I actually doing? I'm not going to cash. Like, so it's so easy to make that call. But, yeah, I'm still play. I mean, I wish I stopped playing big wet and I would probably not have such a bad back today, but
yeah, there you go.
But I did it because I was there to play.
All right. I've got, I think I've got some lined up for my Throllers guarantee. How about yourself?
I will get ready to make something up. I'm sitting on 12% battery. Let's do this.
Okay, cool. Sounds good. All right, I'm having a look at the social day coming up. I like it better when we do the Melbourne events. I was thinking about maybe doing something with Mike Spangenberg. I feel like I haven't seen him play disc golf in forever either. But I'm not going to. I've got my eyes set on Tim Pollock, who I played with at what's it called? The other event we played
Celebrate.
Recently. Melbourne Celebrates, and I'm going to go back to a formula that's worked for me in the past. I think that Tim Pollock is going to finish in the top half of the handicap.
Okay, yep. Nah, smart by you. Tim Pollock, Bald Hill local.
Yep.
892. I'll give you a 5.
I'm half tempted. I'm asking for a handicap half result. Yeah. That's a 5.
I'm half tempted to say 4, but obviously with him being local, but I won't. I'll let that roll. 5 it is. It's def.
Excellent. I saw that 892 metrics rating. I was like, how could he not? Yeah. He's a lot better than that. So let's go. I might have got one. Might have jagged one here. Yeah, what do you got?
Yeah, let's go with Ville.
Yep. Ville, what's Ville gonna do?
Ville's going to I just don't think I was going to be there. I'd love to bet on me, but I'm not going to be there. We're going to go with Ville bottom half metrics.
Ville bottom half metrics. Well, guess we've got to give the same number. We're going to give you a 5.
5? Jeez, when's he ever got bottom half metrics?
What? No, bottom half. You mean handicap?
Sorry, yeah, I mean handicap.
Yeah, that's a 5. If he just plays not good compared to his rating, that's how that works.
Okay.
He would
okay.
finish bottom half handicap all the time.
Nah, I doubt he ever has.
You reckon he's always in then his handicap would go so high that he could never make it.
Well, he won this because He won the season and he's currently winning this season just about. I just think he always just smashes it at social days.
Yeah, I'm sure you think that. But that's not true.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. 5-5.
You get a 5? All right. Sweet.
Yeah.
Good
yeah.
boy. I reckon even if I went back to the roughy one, he'd be in the bottom half of that. Where am I finding real quick there? I don't know. This is not good airtime, so I won't go too hard into it, but very confident he's done this.
Get us started on Spotlight Not Light. Bring that up for you.
All right. I'll go with the Spotlight first. So we had the sad news at the top of the show with, what's his name? Dylan having to stop playing competitive disc golf.
Correct.
Same day, he gets an ace.
Yes.
Same day, he gets an ace. Went down to Barwon Valley to play a casual round, forehand only, ace. amazing. So
now, well done. We actually had the same spotlight. Mine was I was going to honourable mention this the ace, but I was actually just going to say Dylan Feldman. The competitive world of disc golf will be a lesser space without you. He is my spotlight. Yeah, his highlight reel was phenomenal. I'll never forget when he aced hole one. I've brought this up on the pod before, but he aced hole one at Barwon twice in a lunch break. I could stand and throw a million frisbees at hole one Barwon. I'm never acing that.
I can't even birdie it.
Yeah, let alone twice, just casually, like not emptying bag, just like keep them warm. A couple of aces, hole one Barwon. And you were right, Phil did get bottom half at Ruffy, so good score on the five there. Cool. What's your not like?
I don't have too much, so I just really have to double down that Brett really, really let me down. I'm real mad at Brett Bobridge. It's in Melton. You just want to have one hole left. Don't take a double bogey on your last hole of the day. That's all you got to do. It's not that hard. But he couldn't. He took a double bogey, let me down. That's big. I'm real disappointed. So he gets my not light.
It's funny. We've gone with like similar themes here because I'm also doubling down. My not light goes to back issues. it's taken Dill too early from the sport. And my back is currently doing my head in. So back issues just in general get my not light.
Fair enough. Cool. All right. Well, yeah, that was the pod, guys. Thanks for listening.
Peace out.